It is Locked On Jazz for the 19th of June, a live edition. We're hanging out together. We're having fun. We're chitting. We're chatting. I don't know what chitting is, but we're doing it. And we're talking about what the next stage after everyone commits to opening is going to be. Plus, we'll get your thoughts. The Jazz without Bojan Bogdanović, your favorite Jazz moments, fandom, all sorts of it. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it way more fun to be a Jazz fan each and every day. Loving the live show on a Friday. Hopefully we didn't do it too early in the morning at 8:50 in the morning. Looking forward to talking to you. Let's see. I saw a video of some of the boys practicing yesterday. Will the Jazz be ready for Orlando? Will you be going into the bubble as well? I'm ready to take all your questions. I want to hit the first topic of the show. Today's show is brought to you by Built Bar. Promo code Locked On gets you 10% off or $10 off on your latest Built Bar box. Plus, Built Bar is donating 100% of their profits for their 8 million remaining bars in inventory right now to various acts for education, diversity, all of those kind of things. So please support Built Bar and their latest activities. I wanted to jump on one topic before we get to your questions. So I'm kind of interested, frankly, in where you guys are and what your questions are. When I was a program director, if a host ever opened a show and said, "I'll take your questions coming up next," I'd always be like, "Then let them host the show. You suck." Like, if you're not able to come up with the best topic and know what's going on, then you suck and someone else should be doing your job. And I used to always say that to our talent. I actually feel a little bit today like I want to make sure I know where you guys are and what your thoughts are. So I'd love to get your questions for those of you that are live on the show and doing and joining us for those things. And we've had these great stories. Yesterday was Jake Hackford. He actually sent me the picture of the items he talked about yesterday that Karl Malone had signed for him in Roosevelt, Utah. So that was a lot of fun. I got an email from J.C. Ernest, a longtime listener, first time, whatever he is. Thanks for keeping this going. I live in New York City and have been for the last 12 years. Now that my voiceover acting serving jobs are on a hiatus, I do get to stay home with my 8-month-old diehard Jazz fan daughter while my wife works at the hospital as a physician's assistant. Things here are pretty surreal, stressful, and frankly just plain scary over here. So interesting, right? The differences in where you are in our country and what you're experiencing right now are so dramatic. Your podcast has brought a bright spot to normalcy. You bet, JC. Two regular season games that stick out for me for different reasons and my favorite moment as a fan. My most favorite, February 4th, 1997-98, home game against the Bulls. Jazz were down 22 in the first, came back for the victory against a full-strength Bulls team, beating for the second time in 10 days. I thought they'd figured them out, and we were on our way to a championship. My dad had won a church raffle to half-season tickets, so we were there for this game. The set seemed like winning the lottery for our family. We'd been to a handful of games up to that point. I was 14, just absolutely nutso about the team in a way any 14-year-old could be after that season. I made it a goal to earn enough to get my own season tickets. Saddest game ever, January 24th, 2003. It was the first time I had enough money to buy season tickets along with my best friends in the nosebleeds. Tim Duncan won on a 15-foot bank shot buzzer beater. Malone was guarding him. He was all over Duncan. No one could have guarded him better. And watching the way John Stockton walked off the court, I turned to my friends and said, "This is John's last year." I could tell that he knew that he and the team had given it their best and couldn't have played better, and they just weren't good enough anymore. All right, those are your fandom moments. Thanks so much for sharing. Appreciate it. Please keep emailing me those at dlock09@gmail.com. So whether it's because it's been survival for me, or whether or not it's truly because I have found it mesmerizing, I have been 100% in on like all of the precautions and bubbles and all these other things. I find it completely fascinating what's going on and how we're moving forward with COVID. And with I'm not a big believer the vaccine's in sight, and what is the next thing we're going to do, and how are they going to fill arenas, and how are they going to have leagues. And I have found this to be just I think a little bit like, frankly, hey, I don't have what I want, so let me get engaged in this. And when I've looked at this, that we actually have just, the NBA has moved us to a next stage with what they've done. Major League Baseball's got to get a labor issue out, and they seem way behind on if they have any idea what they're going to do when they play. And NHL's going to follow. But the NBA has built the ultimate, most secure model that's out there. The bubble in Orlando is the safest, most detailed model out there. German basketball, we talked about yesterday, is doing a lot of the same stuff. I might try to get one of the German basketball players on. I know Luke Sikma a little bit, so I'll try to see if I can get him on the show and do an interview with him next week. I think it'd be interesting. This is, you know, German basketball, Bundesliga's doing some stuff, basketball. This is the most intensive with this amount of people, 1,600 people. Now we're going to watch, baseball's going to do a different version, football may do nothing. The next stage we're going to venture into, and we're not going to be there for a while, is what do we do with outbreaks? Like that, you know, it's interesting to watch, like SoFi Stadium in Southern California is being built right now, and they have 18 people just tested positive out of a 3,000-person workforce. So not 1%, 0.5% of their workforce just tested positive. They're really looking into it. Big investigation. Is it coming from the city? What are the thresholds when it's a, quote, outbreak? What are the thresholds when it's a problem? What are the thresholds when we need to do something about it? Now, Texas football just had 17 players test positive. I'm guessing they got about 90 players on the team. That's 20% of your roster just tested positive. I'm calling that an outbreak. I'm calling that significant. So what are we doing in this process when there's an outbreak? Once, like, we're showing, right, we have, let me rephrase that. We have yet to show as a culture that if we've opened stuff up, we're willing to close it back down. Okay? Arizona's going to test us on this one. Arizona and Florida are in a bad place right now. Are they going to shut things back down, or are we just going to rely on blatant human intelligence to say, oh, this looks bad, we have, our hospitals are overrun again, we got to do something? I don't know. But what are we going to do inside of a sports league? If we have 1,600 people in NBA in Orlando and 16 test positive, people are going to go crazy. It's 1%. Is that a lot? I don't know. I don't know the answers. 160 people, 10%. Feels like a lot. Like, what is the level of how we're addressing outbreaks, how we're dealing with it? Are we backing up? Are we canceling? The NFL yesterday said that they're doing their own ecosystems. What happens when one ecosystem really fails, right? So you have 50 players, 50 staff members, 200 people are on the team, and you got 25, 30 cases. What do we do about that case? To me, we're months away from it, so it's probably not necessary to bring up today, but like, I feel like we turned a corner here. How we're going to do this, 113-page document shows us how we're going to do it at the most extreme level. The NBA, the WNBA are going to do this at the most extreme level. So now, the next step in this process is, what do we do with outbreaks? We've talked a lot, what do we do with one person? Okay, one person tests positive, they go to home isolate. What happens when 30? What happens when someone dies? I know it's not a good topic, but it's real. What happens when somebody has an underlying health issue we didn't expect? What happens when an older coach or something has an illness? That's the question that's next in this, and I don't have an answer for it. And it's going to be different. NFL, like, I was on with DJ and PK this morning, and they quoted David Petron saying, well, okay, well, college athletes have like 0% chance of dying. Okay, right, like, great, but it's still a transmittable disease that's contagious, so that gets difficult if there's an outbreak. No one's particularly worried about the 22-year-old. What we're worried about is the 22-year-olds all getting together for a party and taking it to their 50 other spot, the 50 22-year-olds getting together and taking it to 50 different spots with them, with most of, suddenly with a high percentage of them carrying it, right? That's the concern. So I don't know how we're going to deal with it, but I think it's the next stage in fascination. Today's show is brought to you by Built Bar. They're doing really cool stuff. Built Bar has, first of all, more than cool stuff. Great tasting, great flavors, nutritious, while tasting like a candy bar. What else could you ask for? The macros, I've told you many a time, they're great, but let me just pull one out. Salted caramel chocolate bar. 110 calories, 15 grams of protein, 4 grams of sugar. Frankly, it can be your candy bar while being healthy. It tastes that good. I actually was stunned at how much I like the orange cream chocolate cream. I always think creamsicles, when people try to do creamsicles, they miss. They didn't miss. 110 calories, 15 grams of protein, 4 grams of sugar. BuiltBar.com, promo code LOCKEDON, and right now, 100% of their profits from 8 million bars are going to organizations that support education, poverty, equality, ending hate, and racism. Father's Day is Sunday. Did you take care of it? If you didn't, go right now to Grip6.com. You'll probably have to give them a receipt. I don't think Grip6 can ship it in that amount of time. But actually, it's not even Father's Day. Like, Grip6 belts are just great. It's all I wear now. Love my Grip6 belts. I'm up to 4 of them. You can get 2, but get 4 with the new 2-pack builder package. 2-pack builder package for you. You can get 2 belts, 2 buckles, interchange them, and you end up with 4. Where do you start? They have kids' belts. They have women's belts. If I'm talking to the guys, I would still start with the honeycomb belt. I think it's the coolest. It's in the conservation series. I also might go to the carbon fiber series. Those are a little more expensive out there. But you also might be a fly fisherman and love the salmon belt, or an outdoorsman and love the buffalo belt. Those are a little out there. The more traditional belts in the ultralight series, they have a really cool setup for you with the new ultralight series with various little patterns. As I mentioned yesterday, I really like the Horizon Granite belt. I also think that the Vert gunmetal belt's cool. And now they have the new Workman belt, which is great for concealed carry, great for your work belt being on there. They are heavier, bigger, stronger, and there for you. It's all at Grip6.com. Please, in the comment zones, put down Locked On sent you so we know. 2-pack builder, belt builder is the best package you can get. All right, let's go to your questions. This is why we do this. We do the live show. Not to look at my old face. I almost knocked over the Instagram Live. Sorry about that. How do you envision the game being refereed in Orlando? Will it be different? Will the ability to hear more contact and more fouls? That's from Polish Jazz. I think this is a great question. I don't know. The officiating is going to be different. I'll try to see if I can get a former NBA official on the show coming up here. So I've now put out 2. I don't usually do guests, but those are 2. To see what they think. Their answer is going to be it shouldn't be that different. It's got to be different. No home crowd momentum. Polish Jazz brings up an interesting idea. You can hear the foul calls differently than you used to be able to. That's really interesting. I hadn't thought about that. Players flopping will be different, right? Oh! And you hear it and you react as an official. The officiating will be far different. It has to be, because the setting's different and officials are human. I know they're trying to not make officials human, but they have to be. And I think that will be one of the most interesting things about this. Let's go to Eric Wood. Do you think the Jazz look at free agents, or do they play one of their G Leaguers when the season continues? The free agents that are available, Trey Burke, Jamal Crawford, if I'm the Jazz, I'm not particularly interested in any of those free agents unless I think they're a part of the roster moving forward. There was 1 or 2 names on the list that Kevin Pelton put out that I thought was maybe semi-interesting in like the Bojan element, but I'd probably rather use, as you're bringing up, Eric, Jarrell Brantley, Juwan Morgan. They've been in our system. We believe in them. Let's use them. If we're looking for another minute at the 4 in this 8, like, and also, I think this 8-game stretch is interesting. Without wanting to disrupt you so you're not ready for the playoffs, there's not really a lot on the line in these 8 games. We're going to make the playoffs. Our seeding is somewhat irrelevant. I guess we'd like to avoid the Clippers in the second round. So you got to be a little careful there. Excuse me, in the first round. So you have to be a little careful there. But I wouldn't mind seeing Jarrell Brantley play 10 minutes at this point. Or watch, someone like Juwan Morgan get a bunch of time in there. I think those to me are the most interesting pieces in how you use this 8-game stretch. I also think you might try crazy zone defenses. You might try box and ones. You might try, I don't know, whatever you might want in this stretch to see. I think you have an 8-game stretch as a coach and as a rotation that of opportunity to have things that should, that don't, if you fail, it doesn't matter. Josh McGrath, sorry, but the season should just be canceled. The restart just shows how greedy the NBA and corporations are, and forcing players to be away from their families for 2 months is ridiculous. Well, let's talk about that. I don't quite understand why trying to preserve your business and make money is greedy. Okay? So the first one there, I'm not sure that I buy into the concept that this shows how greedy NBA corporations are. I don't think they're trying to put anybody at risk. I think they're trying to save their business. I think they're trying to make money, which is what the league is. It's not a recreation league. It's not AYSO. It's not Junior Jazz. And they are not forcing any players to be away from their family for 2 months. If a player deems that it's not worth going into the bubble and they don't want the money for that period of time, there will be no ramifications against them. They are welcome to not come. I think the peer pressure is significant. I'm not ignoring that. Moreover, Joshua, the concept that the season should just be canceled, and then when should it be restarted, or when should we ever play again? The fact is, in my humble, non-political opinion, well, I guess anything's political, and I actually don't give a shit if you think it's political. Because frankly, never mind. That was about to be a rant that was not going to help me out any. Dialed that one back. I don't think we have a vaccine anytime soon. So it's not clear to me how our world is going to greatly change between now and 12, 24, or 36 months, or 48 months. The next time our world changes, at least from my reading, not sports talk show host, business owner, play-by-play announcer, is when we get a vaccine. It is not clear to me that we're getting a vaccine in the next 12, 24, 36, or 48 months. That's not guaranteed. So if we're not playing now, when are we playing? There are smart ways to do it and not smart ways to do it, and there's feasible ways to do it and infeasible ways to do it. But when, if not now, are we playing? And to me, the bubble is so important because it's a fallback. If in December we decide we're going to try to keep an ecosystem like the NFL and play in our arenas with limited fans and travel, and it suddenly doesn't work, we can go back to the bubble. And frankly, if the bubble doesn't work, that's telling. So actually, Joshua, as noble as what you said is, I couldn't disagree with you more. One, it's not greedy to want to run your business. Two, you're not forcing players. And three, when else could we possibly play? Now, Joshua adds one more thing, and I agree with this. Just cancel the season because no one wants to see the Lakers win a title. Now, that's a good point. Do you think Orlando will be a breeding ground for future superstars like the Olympics, will all these opposing players spending so much time with each other? Super teams, not superstars. Yes. I think there will be long-term lingering after effects to having 220 players in a bubble together. Whether it's they don't get along or they do get along, I don't know. Isn't next season in more jeopardy than the Orlando bubble? The start is supposedly about 6 months away with no bubble and traveling. Good question from Andy. That's where I think the bubble is so important. The bubble is your fallback in case it becomes clear that net traveling is not going to work. I have some optimism about our ability to travel. I think we'll be restricted, but I think if you can keep our planes in the cycle and clean, you're just very we use the same bus every time we get to a city and we keep it right. It's not, and we don't go out. Like, I think that's the big one, is we don't go out. And so you're having your dinners in and things like that. I think that gives us a chance. From Stephen Harris, what players have been here taking advantage of being able to practice and getting ready? So, I mean, Mike Conley's been in and out. When I interacted with him recently, he was in Ohio, in Columbus back. Rudy's here, but he's got a gym in his house, so he doesn't need to go to the facility. Tony Bradley's been here working really hard. George is around. Joe's been around. Boyan had surgery. We've seen the video of Royce and Donovan and some of the guys playing. So guys are getting ready. Guys are getting ready. It's kind of awesome. Today's show brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai. Love the Sonata I'm driving right now. Last 2 days, I had an hour-long drive, chose the Sonata. With a cruise control set so it reads the car in front of me, with the keeping in the lanes features, driving's easy, relaxed, comfortable. The car's smooth looking, drives nicely, has good pickup, great space inside. Loving the Sonata. Already own two Santa Fes. Like, I'm in the bag for Hyundai. Why? Because for the value, I'm analytical, right? For the dollars I'm spending and the features I'm getting and the safety ratings I'm getting, it's unmatched. So if you're looking for a car right now, make sure you add Hyundai to your list. It might not be your answer. You can decide how you're going to spend your money. But add Hyundai to the list. And if you do, email me first at dlock09@gmail.com. And I will set you up with a VIP session with someone in Linden, in Murray, or in Logan. Whichever of the three locations you want to go to in Murdoch Hyundai. I've got two of the Santa Fe's in the house right now. That's how much we like it. I'm driving the Sonata. The Tucson is terrific. I just want a little bigger car. The Kona is zippy and fast. That's the SUV lineup. So check them all out at Murdoch Hyundai, 4646 South State Street, in Logan and in Linden. Great deals right now. Email me first at dlock09@gmail.com. Jazz Nation News does a great job, by the way. Give them a follow. Brantley and Morgan have been at the practice facility as well. I'm going to turn it over to Instagram for a second. We're live on Instagram as well. Let me see who's jumped in with questions on the ground. Today's your birthday. Happy birthday to almost 50. M-I-N, is that, I can't see from the, L-L-A-S-A-L, happy birthday. Give a wave out to, I hate the way I look right now. Take those off. Old man, I saw a video of some of the guys practicing yesterday. Will the Jazz be ready for Orlando? Will you be going? I will not be going. Understanding is we'll have one content creator going. I don't know who it is. I will be trying to broadcast, radio broadcast, without seeing the game. I'm Ronald Reagan. We'll be doing through ticker tape and seeing how it all goes out. And trying to figure it out. We're actually have a meeting this week coming up. I've put together what I think is an innovative, brand new broadcast plan to do broadcasts in a different way than ever before and try something creative. It might be an unmitigated disaster, but if they approve it, we're going to try it. And you would be heavily involved. Do you see Joe's Instagram post about being too sick for work today. I did not. Sorry, guys. I'm probably not as up on following all our guys on the gram right now as I should be. Do you think we give Rudy the Supermax? That is going to be the number one question about this franchise for a while here. I'm a big Rudy believer. I haven't looked at the salary cap implications of all of it. So I'm not sure I have a great answer for you on that. But I think Rudy's value is increasing, not decreasing. And I think Rudy is a tremendous player. We can't replace him. If we let him go, I think we're awfully close to the Phoenix Suns. With a great scorer like Devin Booker and a not very good, like, I'm a huge believer in Rudy. Does that mean we give him the max? I would do whatever I could to keep him. But I haven't looked at the salary cap implications of all of it. Do you think we'll have a 2021 season? I sure hope so. I'm also CEO of a sports podcast network. It's gone 3 months without sports. It's not great. Yes, I certainly hope so. Do you think we will see who took more advantage of the break in Orlando and who will step in for Bogey? I think Joe will start. And then from there, George Niang will get more minutes and have to really shoot it. Put the triplets in the minivan! Woo! God, that's going to be weird. I'm in a room by myself. No one around. George Ingles, left side. Am I really saying, open up the sliding door and put the triplets in the minivan while sitting in a room by myself? It's going to sound ridiculous. Ah! I love live shows. You get the truth out of me. Sounds ridiculous when I do it live, but there's crowd cheering and somehow it's okay. It's like if I'm a lunatic and a crazy man and doing stupid stuff, when there's a crowd there and everyone's around, it's like we're all being crazy and we're all being lunatics. But when I'm like sitting in the room by, oh my gosh, it's crazy. Back to Instagram. What team do you think will be the most prepared and ready going into the rest of the season? I have no idea, but I'd be scared to hell to be ill-prepared if I was LeBron's teammate. I do think the Clippers have had kind of a whole mantra to who they are. I think most of those players have stayed in LA, though it's been very restrictive in LA, so I don't know. I really don't know how I could possibly answer that question for you. I think the teams that are on the verge of a championship have probably had a better time staying engaged than the teams that have not. Like a Brooklyn or Orlando, I'll be curious to see if those teams stayed engaged. Who do you think the best playoff matchup would be out of OKC, Houston, and Denver? I think OKC or Denver more than Houston. Denver's pretty darn good with Nikola Jokic. But their defensive point guard play is really problematic for them with Jamal Murray. Oklahoma City has Chris Paul, so that's a pain. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Steven Adams allows Rudy Gobert to stay near the basket. Houston moves Rudy Gobert the most, and I think Rudy Gobert is the key. I do think Donovan goes to Orlando, for those asking that question. I'm not particularly worried that he doesn't. All right, let's go back to our chat room. Will the cap be majorly affected, and if so, do you think they will land big? We can land a big free agents for next season. There are no big free agents for next season. Jordan Clarkson is a free agent. He's our own. He's as big as any. The cap will be impacted. And if we don't play, then it will be a 33% hit on the cap. From Craig, who replaces Bogdanovich? I think Joe Ingles, your starting lineup will be Royce, Joe, Donovan, Mike Conley, and Rudy. I've presented the idea that you might start George Niang just to protect him so he's always matched with Rudy Gobert defensively. You have Tony Bradley, George Niang, Jordan Clarkson as your primary bench. And maybe Emmanuel Mudiay kicks in with a few more minutes and his size makes him more versatile. From Andy. I'm in Florida right now. Our numbers are going up due to spikes in over 2,000 assisted living and senior facilities we have. Most of the spikings are in Palm Beach, Broward, and Miami-Dade County. We're all in South Florida and hours away from Orlando. Thank you. Yeah, they're all in, right, Broward and Miami-Dade County have a demographic that's similar, if I understand Miami correctly. Let's see if I got any more questions. Have you seen pictures of Rudy and how he's buffed up recently? How do you think this will affect his game? I cannot believe that Rudy Gobert took my abs and put them on his Instagram photo for his body. I think that is so cheap. That Rudy Gobert is taking pictures of my abs and photoshopping them into his body so that he looks good. That's totally absurd. Have a great weekend, everybody. This has been Locked On Jazz.